there are some ways, and we're going to talk about them today, but we're really going to talk about mirrors, but mirrors of, so that we can know what we can look like in our soul, in our being. The emphasis of the world, the emphasis of other than the spiritual dimension, is on the surface. It's how we look like on the outside. You know, how much attention is given to trying to get our outside appearance looking as good as possible. When you, of course, you get to be my point, my state in life and condition, you just you give up and just go with it. But just in the culture, you know, on television, the ads, the what's sold, the emphasis is on the outward appearance. We have plenty of mirrors to gauge that, but it is a truth. It is a truth that who we are in our soul and in our spirit, our innermost, in our inner being, when someone's around us or we're around someone else for very long, that's how we begin to see them. A person can be, in the world standards, the most beautiful person outwardly in the world, but if they're just a mean, ugly person on the inside, once you're around them a little bit, you just see them as an ugly person. How many of us also can bear witness that you've known people who didn't look that great on the outside, but they had a kind, gentle heart, they had the Spirit of Christ within them, and you're around them for a while and you're just impressed. That's a beautiful person, aren't you? So today we're going to look at just a few things of a way of looking at our soul, holding up a mirror to ourselves so that we can see how we are and what we're like. The first mirror is to get us a reflection of our soul. What do you look forward to? What are your interests? What are you interested in? What are you interested in? It was mentioned about school. I hated school. No, I mean really, I hated school. It was torture. Sorry, Martin. I hated school. It was torture. I had at the midway point, I had a teacher in the sixth grade, which probably saved my life. He let me go out of, I don't know why, I guess he just saw the anguish expression on my face each day. But he let me go out anytime I wanted to, which was every day, and sit in the hall and draw pictures. And I remember there were some old blinds, the kind of old brown blinds that you pull down, and they'd been taken down and were piled up somewhere out there. And so he let me have those, and I would just roll them down and I would draw. I remember drawing a lot of birds with a lot of colors. I like colors. And so I drew a lot of birds with a lot of bright colors and did that throughout my sixth grade year, and that helped. But I hated school. And there was one point where I skipped school, and guess what they did to punish me? I skipped school because I hated it so much. Guess what they did to punish me? They extended me for 3 days. And I thought, why didn't I figure this out earlier? That was great. All up until the point my dad found out about it. And then I realized how come I hadn't figured that out before, because he definitely did not make it worth my while. Coming to church, worship. How we look forward to that? How's our attitude toward that? I think sometimes if the Lord hold up a mirror to our soul when we're in worship, we might look something like I did when I was in school. Just, looking for that bell to ring. What are we interested in? Are we solely interested in our things, things about us, me, or are we interested in the things of God? Are we interested in worship? Are we interested in living for Him and dependent upon Him and the things of Him? And and feel compelled that we need to mention at this time of the year that this, are we conscious of, and I'm sure we are, but are we conscious of this time of year is very special to God? This is, in a short period of time, there are three dates on His eternal sacred calendar that are so dear to Him because they're fulfilled in His Son, Jesus Christ. And just mentioning them quickly, because we've talked about them in detail in the past, that the first full moon of spring, that evening, which will be Monday evening, this coming week, is Passover, begins Passover. And later that day, biblical day, evening to evening, later that day, on the Passover day, His Son gave His life for us so that we might be free. The greatest expression of love of God for us. Note that. 7 days after that, unleavened bread, how we're to live a life depending upon God. The Sunday in the midst of that week of unleavened bread is first fruits, the day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, proving that He is the Son of God, proving that He is the King of Kings and is able to save us and give us life forever. Are we interested in these things? Are we interested in things of God? And just breaking it down to worship this morning and worship each week, that is a good mirror to our soul. Other is people. People. People are a good mirror. As you go through life, you go through your days, notice how people respond to you. People can give you a good reflection of your soul. If you're living like Christ and depending upon Him and reflecting Christ in your life, people are going to respond to you who are drawn to that, who are drawn to Christ, who are looking for spiritual, who need spiritual. You can see how people responded to Christ, and you, as if you're depending upon Christ and living for Him, people are going to be drawn to you that way and are going to react to you that way. Or if we're living for ourselves and selfishly living as that old creation, we're going to see people respond to us that way too. We're going to see people who are not interested in Christ, who are not interested in things of Christ, they may be drawn to us rather than the others. We may go through and we may see people get angry, we may see people get uptight around us. Note how people act and react to you. And that can be a reflection of who you are and how you're living your life in Christ. In a general sense of this, if you see a consistent pattern of the way people respond to you, then that is clearly a reflection of how an aspect of how you are in your soul. If every day I got up and I dressed like a pirate and then went through life and, you know, people treated me, you know, went along with it and say, oh, and matey, and RRR and all that, and because I'm dressed like a what? A pirate. So one day I said, I'm tired of people treating me like a pirate. But every day I continue to get up and dress like a pirate and saying, but I don't want you to treat me like a pirate, but you are, because I'm dressed like a what? Like a pirate. People are being a reflection to how they're seeing me. But if one day I get up and I put on a nice outfit or a nice suit and go out into the day, and guess what? Not one person treats me like a pirate anymore. Why? Because I changed. I'm different. If we see a constant pattern of the way people treating us, and we want that to be different, and we want them to see Christ in us, we want them to respond to us as new creations rather than old, we want them to be benefited rather than helped, hurt by us, we want them to react to us in a positive, good way, we need to change. People are responding to who they see. They're reflecting, being a reflection to our soul. We need to change. We need to change in Christ. We need to become more like Him. We need to be more dependent upon Him, more broken, more humble, more reliant upon Him. And as we change, people then will change in how they treat us and how they react to us. Another mirror of our soul, we're looking at four of them. The third one we're going to look at today is our role models. Who do we look up to? Who do we look up to? When I was young playing football, my role model was Fred Biletnikoff, played wide receiver for the Oakland Raiders. And he was my role model. In matters of faith, my role models began with my dad and my mom. They were people of faith, and they were role models for me. I remember when I was a child, it's kind of like when Warren runs down and seems to really be glad to be at church. I used to sit on the second pew back at worship and just sit there and take it in. But I remember one day, First Baptist Church in Clinton, had the choir loft, and they had two doors coming down each side of the choir loft, and the preacher and whoever was speaking would come down one of those doors and come down and sit down on the platform. Well, one day, not only the preacher came in, but this man by the name of Fred Cherry, who was an evangelist, he came down, and as he was walking down, there was just something in his eyes that caught my attention. And he came up, and he proclaimed the Word of God. And I remember thinking, I want to do that. Remember, as I've told you, I was a backward little boy, wouldn't even talk to hardly anybody. And yet, when I saw him up there doing that, I said, that's what I want to be. That's what I want to do. And that was a reflection of what the Lord was wanting me to do in my life. That's who I was drawn toward. And there's been many others. My wife's a role model for me. She's loves life. Go up to visit Mr. Proctor. Invariably, before I leave, he says, "You know, my wife, she's the most beautiful woman in the inside and the outside that I've ever known." He is constant. And I would not dare to disagree with him, but I'd have to respectfully disagree with this. My wife is the most beautiful person that I've ever known inside and out. Role model. But look who we look up to. Look who our world looks up to and holds up as role models. Look who gets all the attention. Look who gets the publicity. Look who's held up in high esteem in our culture. That's a mirror on our culture, isn't it? Reflects who we are as a people. It also reflects who we are as individuals. The fourth area I want us to take a little bit more time on, and that is stories. How many of you like stories? How many of you like to read? Okay, or see stories, okay. Stories, and as we look at stories, can be a reflection of our soul and who we are. That is, who are we drawn to in the stories? Who do we see ourselves as a story?